The first country to require our attention would have been, and was, Afghanistan, the Al-Qaeda sanctuary then run by the Taliban. Following the Al-Qaeda attacks on America, the war that the U.S. fought in Afghanistan was not the rapid, no-holds-barred operation that one might have expected. We did not immediately send U.S. forces to capture Al-Qaeda and Taliban leadership. The Bush administration decided to continue appeals to the Taliban to turn over bin Laden and his followers. And then, when we attacked, we treated the war as a regime change rather than a search-and-destroy operation against terrorists. More than a month after the U.S. opened the military operation, the Taliban leader Mullah Omar, still alive and well, ordered his troops to pull out of Kabul and move to the mountains. No U.S. troops gave chase. Not until November 25th, 7 weeks after starting the operation, did the United States insert a ground force unit, U.S. Marines, to take and hold a former Al-Qaeda and Taliban facility near Kandahar. The late November operation did not include any effort by U.S. forces to seal the border with Pakistan, snatch the Al-Qaeda leadership, or cut off the Al-Qaeda escape route. The Northern Alliance continued to bear most of the burden of the fighting for the U.S. in November. Under growing criticism that the Pentagon was bungling the job of getting bin Laden and the Al-Qaeda leadership, Secretary Rumsfeld said, just before Christmas, that in the future, U.S. forces would do the job, rather than continuing to rely upon Afghans. By March 2002, U.S. ground forces had arrived in unit strength, and, almost 5 months after the U.S. initiated combat, began a sweep of mountainous areas to capture Al-Qaeda personnel. Although Operation Anaconda ran into serious resistance, it failed to capture Al-Qaeda leaders. 2 years after the U.S. began military operations against Afghanistan, U.S. forces, CIA officers, and pro-U.S. Afghans had still not found Osama bin Laden or his deputy, Ayman Zawahiri, nor had they found Taliban leader Mullah Omar. Indeed, long before the two-year mark, the U.S. military had shifted its focus to Iraq. Of the combined U.S. forces fighting the war on terrorism in the Afghan and Iraqi theaters, only about 5% were in Afghanistan. The CIA was less tentative. As then-CIA counterterrorism director Kofor Black explained to a Senate committee, quote, "After September 11th, the gloves came off," unquote. He did not explain why they were on before then. It could be argued that they were waiting for the Bush administration to determine its policy on Al-Qaeda and the priority it would give to that policy. What the CIA did so readily after September 11th, however, was what the Clinton administration White House had been pressing them to do for years: insert CIA personnel into Afghanistan, aid the Northern Alliance, fly the Predator, work with other security services to identify and break up cells in Europe, the Middle East, and elsewhere. The CIA had not acted before because the career managers of its Directorate of Operations were risk-averse. The CIA had been subject to criticism when past White House staffs had gotten them involved in the civil war in Lebanon, in trading arms for hostages with Iran, in supporting Latin American militaries fighting communists and trampling human rights. Secretary Albright, reflecting on the history of the CIA, said to me that it was easy to understand why it was risk-averse. "It acts in a passive-aggressive way," she said, "as if it has battered child syndrome." What should the administration have done about Afghanistan after September 11th? The United States should have inserted forces into Afghanistan to cut off bin Laden's escape routes and to find and arrest or kill him and his deputies. America and its coalition partners, including France and Germany, should have established a security presence throughout the country. They did not. As a result, after initial efforts to unite the country, American interest waned, and the warlords returned to their old ways. Afghanistan was a nation raped by war and factional fighting for 20 years. It needed everything rebuilt. But in contrast to funds sought for Iraq, U.S. economic and development aid to Afghanistan was inadequate and slowly delivered. Because of a lack of attention and resources, Afghanistan is still a potential sanctuary for terrorists.